Blog Talk Radio.
I guess there is no music. There's usually lovely music to open my lovely show, but it's me, your host, your fabulous host from Los Angeles, Lauren Leibowitz. But you know, I just can't help myself because today you're going to hear this four-letter word repeated over and over today. So please brace yourself because that word is self. Self-respect, self-love, self-esteem, and self-defense. And I want to welcome you today to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. Again, this is your fabulous host, Lauren Leibowitz. It's Thursday, July 22nd, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And I want to thank all my listeners for being so supportive and joining us today. And this is a very, very important, interesting, and wonderful show today, and I know you're going to love it because it is the first part of a three-part series about violence against women. And I don't know how many of you in your own city have heard stories like this, but I know in around Los Angeles there are these stories about young women 17 years of age and younger and older that have been abducted and unfortunately killed, and this really has to stop. We as women really need to learn to protect ourselves and defend ourselves against assaults. So we have a very special guest, two very special guests, who will share their story. So please join in to listen and ask questions. You can dial that 10-digit number at 347-857-2710. We are here live until 3:45 p.m. Pacific time. So let's get to it. My guest today is Matt Thomas, and Matt is the founder of Model Mugging, which is the first reality-based full-contact self-defense course. And Matt has appeared on Oprah and was interviewed for Life, People, and Glamour magazines. And he has over 39 years of experience and has trained over, are you ready for this, 60,000 women. But most importantly, thousands of women have had their fears reduced so that they can live their lives in peace and joy. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful gift to give. And also joining Matt and I is Denise Loveday Kane, who is a former student of Model Mugging and also a trainer. So please give a warm welcome to Matt and Denise. Hello.
Well, thank you for having us on your show.
Yes. Hi, Lauren. Thanks for having
Denise.
Us. It's an honor.
It is a pleasure because I don't know, this is a very, very sensitive subject to me. And it's interesting, I'll just share with you how this whole subject of violence against women had come about for me, that we were talking about the Stieg Larsson films, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, The Girl mm-hmm. Who Plays with Fire, et cetera, and a friend and mm-hmm. I were talking about The Girl who with the Dragon Tattoo, about how violent it is as a film and the violence against women. And Stieg Larsson, his theme, I don't know if both of you are familiar with him and his work, is that he is an advocate for violence against women, and a friend had suggested doing a show about that. So that's kind of where this all started from. And so, Matt, how was Model Mugging born?
Well, I was at Stanford in 1971 and double majoring in psychology and biology. So the idea was, you know, I wanted to go out and save the world medically. And I was also in the martial arts because I'm half Japanese, half Russian, and started life in an orphanage in Japan where I learned to fight, and then I was adopted, fortunately, and brought to America, and, well, still had to fight. And so I had black belts in three different martial arts, and one of the students who was a second degree black belt was assaulted, and she was raped. And I was flabbergasted because I thought, you know, she had taken second in the state in kata, which are the forms, and I thought she would be able to defend herself. But I realized that she had been attacked very differently from the way we competed in the traditional martial arts. I mean, we face each other, we bow, the judge says, hajime, or start, and we go at it. And then if someone slips, well, oh, they stop the match, you turn around, adjust your gi or your uniform, and you turn around and bow, and then it starts all over again. Well, that's not how she was attacked on the street. First of all, she was attacked from behind. She was tackled and thrown to the ground. And so much of the martial arts before the MMA came out, you know, didn't deal with how to fight on the ground. And yet, how many women are raped standing up? So I realized that this was a very, very serious issue and needed to be researched. So Stanford at the time was part of the beginning of the internet. There are only a few computers linked up, but fortunately some of them were government computers, and I was able to obtain information about 3,000 assaults against women to determine patterns of attack. And I realized that, wait a second, this isn't what we had been trained for in the martial arts.
Well, martial arts is if I, correct me if I'm mistaken, it's not really for fighting as opposed to learning inner peace. Is that it? It's not really a skill. Isn't that an aspect
of
martial arts?
Okay. It's an aspect that
I watched the Karate Kid, okay? I watched the Karate Kid movie.
Okay. Well, to me, peace comes from being able to kick butt. Okay. In other words, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I'm the meanest, toughest guy in the valley. And I feel that the peace comes from having power and knowing that I can go out and live my life and do my photography and if someone attacks me, then I can defend myself and then go back to my photography or living my life.
Exactly. Right.
The arts originally started off as war.
Is a form of, in your essence, of defending oneself.
Right. I mean, the Mars, the god of war. And so, I mean, the initial martial arts are very, very brutal. And as they came to America, in order to make it more palatable to people, they sort of de-emphasized violence and emphasized the sport aspect and got a little wishy-washy. It has to be a balance of mind, body, and spirit. And you've got to have all of them working at the same time.
Well, I find it very interesting. You mentioned, as I asked you how was model mugging born, that this woman who was attacked was a black belt. And I find that very interesting, even though she was attacked from behind. I guess what I'm getting to is what you mentioned, that through the study of martial arts, you are empowered. So besides being attacked from behind, what was this woman not exuding that, or if anything, allowed her to get tagged? I don't even want to say allowed her to get tagged, but because she was struck from behind. But I just find that's a very interesting, don't you find
Again, it's very interesting to look at the whole aspects of assaults against women. For example, 80% of all women are raped by, people they know. So this was a stranger rape, which was in the minority, actually. When you look at women against rape, they're saying that 1 out of 3 women will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime in the United States. Police reports say 1 out of 10 women will be sexually assaulted. I happen to tend to believe more of the women against rape than the police reports, because I feel that most rapes aren't even reported.
That's true. And why do you feel that is?
Well, again, I think there's a cultural barrier against reporting something that is unfortunate. I mean, I had been raped in the orphanage by the older boys when I was little, and I wouldn't even talk about it until after I'd been teaching self-defense for women, and I realized that these women had tremendous courage, and they were talking about their rape, so, well, guess what? I better talk about my rape. It's that whole stigma of shame. I mean, I was 3. I couldn't defend myself against a 12-year-old boy, but eventually I did learn to fight.
Right. Well, and that's, I guess that is important, learning to have your voice so you can defend yourself.
Right. And it has to be a blend. In other words, the joys of Stanford, where I had some of the most amazing professors, like Dan Millman, who later wrote The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, was my gymnastics coach. And he's been my student, and I've been his student, and we've been friends now for over 40 years. And he taught me to teach with joy and laughter. I mean, I loved going to his classes where I was a beginner. You know, I'd fall off the apparatus and get hurt, and he'd say, well, if you don't fall, you're not trying hard enough. And I'd go to my martial arts classes where I was a black belt, but my instructors had been trained in sort of the brutality, and they would throw me around and beat me up to show off for themselves, and that wasn't so much fun. And I realized that, so many times when women walk into a martial arts class, they're intimidated, And back then, this is, we're talking ancient history, 1971, only one woman out of 10 would continue and finish a three-month class. And that's terrible. These are the women who need it the most.
Right.
So it had to be a blend of Western psychology and Phil Zimbardo, his work on cognitive dissonance. I have two different ideas. I'm a loving, caring, wonderful human being, but if someone attacks me, I'm going to turn into the fiercest beast on the planet. And in order to overcome that, you need to have a teaching method that, like, we gather in a circle rather than having, you know, the big boss and all that sort of thing. We share, we empathize, we create permission to do taboo subjects. For example, how many women are, you know, rewarded to knee a guy in the nuts as hard as they can? Not very often. Okay, and yet that's a skill they need to overcome those inhibitions and do in a self-defense situation. I mean, you've never been socially rewarded to heel palm a guy in the nose as hard as you can and knock him out, and yet that's what the woman needs to learn. So she needs to have a role model, someone like Denise, who is petite and attractive and vivacious and, you know, doesn't look like she could defend herself, but boy, she sure can. And, you know, this is the type of role model where I'd say, wow, if she can do it, I can do it. Well, and this is where role model mugging came from, Albert Bandura's work on role model mastery. And this is a means of overcoming fear of flying, fear of snakes. And so this was the blend of Stanford learning theory with the martial arts.
Well, that's interesting. So, Denise, since Matt brought it up, how did you and Matt meet? How did you become involved with model mugging?
Well, I have been so honored to not only know and be taught by this man, but then to get to teach with him, and then to be touched by all of the students that we have. And every time I taught a class, I healed myself too. Way back when I was in college, I had had like three incidences right in a row. Boom, a boyfriend who became abusive. I believe now he was on steroids, and my mother saw it. So then she told me about a relative who had been abused for so many years, and all of these secrets were coming out. And then I was beginning an acting career while I was in college, and I had gotten this job. I was so excited. I was going overseas with four other young new models, and it was just a bogus modeling job, basically turned kidnapping. We ended up not having our passports and being taken to this island in the Philippines, and guys had Uzis on the hilltops and all that stuff. And I mean, we weren't sure we were going to get back, and it was a long ordeal, but three of us came back. One girl chose to stay. And when I got back, I knew that, you know what, I needed therapy, but I didn't know how to say it when I was that young. I didn't know what to do. And I remember a male relative, close friend said, oh, you girls must have just made it up. And I think I just clicked off then. I clicked off to, okay, well, no one will believe me. Well, I'll just forget about it. And I just won't deal with it, and I'll just bury it. And then I graduated, and you think you're handling it, but it comes up in nightmares. It surfaces in bad relationships. How could I trust men after that? And so I found that, and in my acting, how am I going to express emotion when I can't even deal with my own real feelings? And I remember that, I get emotional.
Well, that's the beauty of the work. That is the beauty of the work that Matt does about empowering you. And just what we were talking about before, why don't women say they've been raped? Because no one believes them.
Right. I happened to see in People magazine an article about Matt and model mugging. I said, I have to see this. And I was lucky. In Los Angeles, they were teaching classes. These were students of Matt's. And I went to what they call a graduation, where the students, at the end of the week, they invite their family and friends to celebrate and actually watch them get mugged. And it's the most joyous, you wouldn't believe this, the most incredible thing to watch these people saying no and standing up for themselves, so many for the first time in their lives.
It is emotional, and it's so beautiful to hear how important your voice is as a woman. All our voices are important, and to, I guess,
Yes, you see people
reframe how women are accepted in the United States, and when you look at other countries, how women are treated in the Middle East.
Well, I have to say too, there were men in the class too. Everybody have been victims, or maybe just afraid of going out or traveling or whatever it might be. I mean, everybody's got baggage. So, and I didn't know anybody in this class, but as I watched this, I just bawled and I said, I have to take this. So I was fortunate. I was able to take the class. I walked taller. I was being able to say no and to change the endings. And that's what we say, this, the class is so brilliantly simple that anybody could do it, because we had people who are older and younger. Everybody's got bad backs, bad knees. We had handicapped people. It doesn't matter. You just, it's so basic and so simple. You only have two targets, the nose and the groin. And you are trying to knock out your assailant, and you're not, and what was so radical for him is you're not fighting out of hatred, but you're fighting out of love for yourself and for your loved ones, to protect yourself and to get on with life. And so it was the most beautiful thing. And at the end of this, I said, this needs to be out in the world, this message, not just to the lucky people who could take the class. And so with my film background, I said, I've got to contact this founder, Matt Thomas, who happened to live in Northern California at the time. And I said, contacted Matt and said, here's an idea of a movie of the week that I have. And so he and I, he says, well, Denise, as a matter of fact, I'm coming to L.A., and we need to teach classes. That's the way for people to experience. So next thing I know, I was able to learn from him. We taught classes for many years, many workshops, and it has been an honor, because to watch people take back their lives. And every time I took a class, I healed too. And then Matt and I co-wrote a book for people who can't take the classes. At least even just reading it and practicing it. If you take nothing from this radio show, I would say, would you say, Matt, get your legs in there and just kick. Your legs are longer than any assailant's arms. Our power is in our legs and our hips. Kick for the groin and the nose and yell no. And let that come from your deep inner belly, no, with every blow.
That actually happened to a woman who had heard us on National Public Radio way back when, and about 2 weeks later, she got attacked by two guys who tried dragging her into the van. So she just remembered dropping to the ground and kicking like crazy, yelling no, and the two guys left her alone, got back in the van, and drove off. So she wrote me a very nice letter thanking me for that. Another woman just watched a graduation and then was accosted by a guy on her way home from the graduation, and so she mimicked what she had seen in class. He'll palm the guy in the nose and dropped him. So, like, this stuff works.
What is it about yelling no that turns off the assailant? Because I remember in junior high they taught something similar, but I never felt so empowered how to go down the shin of a guy behind you and with the palm of your hand hit him in his chin. They always said yell fire, because if you yelled rape or I'm being mugged, no one would come to your aid.
Well, times have changed a lot, I hope. The important thing is to yell and to look fierce. We've trained like 60,000 women over a 39-year period that I know of. And of those women, only about 1,000 reported being attacked afterward, which is either a 67 or 90% reduction in the incidence of attacks against them. Obviously, if a woman were attacked and murdered, I wouldn't know about it, but I'm sure in today's society I'd probably get sued by her survivors. So anyway, of those 1,000 women, 800 or so just yelled no and looked fierce, and the bad guy fled. And, you know, this is, again, all about predators. I took a course in animal communication at Stanford. And, again, most animal threats are, designed to avoid combat. And when a primate, screams and yells and, jumps up and down, the other primate says, I think I'm going to pick on an easier primate. So the same thing in, predator-prey relationships. if, for example, way back in the early days of film, a group of German scientists wanted to film a lion killing a wildebeest. So they stuck him in a cage together, and usually if the wildebeest runs from the lion will just jump on him, and that's the end of the wildebeest. But because the wildebeest was cornered, it decided to fight, and it actually killed the lion. Mm-hmm. So it's very important for us then to tap into, you know, that primal energy of defending ourselves. Like, you know, a lot of times women won't kick me in the groin or kick me in the nose, and we will use verbal cues like, I'm going to kill your kids or something like that. And suddenly the mother responds on blam, blam, blam. She's more than willing to fight. It's also important, you know, when we look at our actual physical fights. We've had 208 that I know of with 202 wins and only 6 losses. And that, to me, is that's on the street. The women had been outweighed, outreached, often outnumbered. A lot of times the bad guys had firearms or clubs or knives, and the women still fought back. And this is, to me, the true test of what we do, that the women have survived. Even the 6 women who lost, they lived. And that, to me, is a victory of sorts. Bill Kipp is one of my students, and he found it fast after training with me for 20 years, and he went and founded his own organization. He's trained over 120,000 people in just a few years. Mark Vinci is continuing the model mugging, and he's a Long Beach police officer. He's a COGA defensive tactics instructor. He's also a major in the Army in charge of a military police battalion. You know, so we've got great guys carrying on the work.
Now, you had sent me a very wonderful picture of you and Denise demonstrating model mugging with you with your fabulous, I want to call it, hockey goalie headgear. And
it took a long time to develop that armor.
Yes, yes. Talk about having a big head.
I got knocked out 22 times in developing that helmet. So the helmet kept on getting bigger and bigger and bigger until finally in the last 20 years, none of our muggers had been knocked out. And we only had 2 groin equipment failures before we fixed that, which goes to show what men value more. But, you know, I have 3 kids that sort of look like me, and, you know, so that works too.
So they wear that big helmet on. Would you do a lovely on-radio demonstration with Denise to give our listeners an idea of what they would learn how to do to protect themselves in your class? So give a scenario and what I know Denise mentioned a couple of moves. So can you give us an example?
Well, Matt, could we talk about garbage mouth first?
Sure, and we have to be careful what we say.
Exactly, right, yes.
80% of all women were intimidated by verbal attacks alone. And so we do garbage mouthing in class, which is, you know, every swear word under the sun, every racial epithet, every gender epithet, everything that's not PC, until the woman basically in about 5 to 15 minutes just says, I heard worse in model mugging than if they heard that on the street. So it desensitizes them and takes away one of the most important and the, you know, most oftenly used weapon of the predator. So we will dispense with that. We call Bill Kipp calls it woofing like a dog, you know. But it's, again, a threat. And the woman, you know, basically establishes her boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm walking up to Denise, and I will try to do a PG version of this if I can.
Well, say, Denise, like, I mean, here's the perfect example. Like you said, most people perhaps will be attacked from the back, most women. So Denise is walking from her car mm-hmm. to dinner.
Now, again, we do talk about being aware of your surroundings, not living in fear and constantly looking over our shoulder, but being powerful and enjoying life and then being aware and looking at the beauty of life. But you can't always be aware. So, yeah, let's say, walking in from behind.
So I would jump on her and grab her in a bear hug and say, don't move, I'll kill you.
Now, we teach in class, and we do this all step by step. So normally we teach from the front, and we just add like building blocks, add on the next thing and the next thing. So actually the front from the behind is a little bit more advanced. But
okay, then start with the basics, so then we can move to the advanced, if you don't mind.
Okay. So now I'm going to approach her from the front and say, hey, baby, you're looking mighty fine. Why don't you give me some?
Yeah, right. So what I do is I get into a freeze walk stance. It's just a normal walking, one foot slightly in front of the other. My knees are slightly bent. I don't want to lock my knees. And I bring my hands up, sort of my elbows are bent and my palms are out, kind of, and I'm looking sort of through my fingers and notice that my elbows are kind of close together. So I'm actually in a very protective stance where I'm protecting my heart and all of my vitals. And I'm gently, calmly, I'm staying calm. I don't escalate into his verbal tones, but I'm just saying, back off. I don't want any problems. I don't want any problems. But I'm
so if I
proud.
Escalate, then she needs to escalate. Oh, yeah, what are you going to do about it, huh?
Back off now.
Oh, yeah, what are you going to do, huh? Look at the tiny little kid you are. Oh, I'm going to beat the out of you.
Now, if he starts to advance, and let's say he is going to start an attack, I'm not going to wait and get knocked over. You've got to get your force going in. And believe it or not, our power in is going to come if we get in close to him. We start with the heel palm. So I'm going to keep my left hand always up, protecting my face in this case, and I'm going to heel palm with my right hand. And I'm going to use my whole body behind it. I'm using my hips and my power. So we're throwing this, what Matt will call a one-inch punch, but it's a heel palm, and I'm going to punch his, I'm pushing his nose back to the back of his head, basically, and I'm saying, no! And as that pushes his head back, well, what does he present to me, my next target? It happens to be a groin, way exposed. Lovely, thank you very much. Then I'm stepping forward, and I'm giving a good thigh to the groin and stepping forward with all of my weight, as I said, no, with that strike. Now, if somebody gets a knee or thigh in the groin, they're going to bend over at their waist, and their head is going to be down. And, oh, thank you for that next target. Again, my hands are up protecting my face, and now I'm going to follow through with that next knee, thigh to the head, and stepping forward. So my momentum and force is all going forward into him. So it was a heel palm to the nose, thigh to the groin, thigh to the head, and always saying, no, no, no. And this
so
was
it's a,
very
it's a 1-2-3 kind of punch. You're not waiting for his response.
No, no, exactly. The whole idea is to knock him out as quickly and efficiently as possible. It's not going to be perfect. It's going to be messy street fight, but Matt's moves are so simple and so brilliant that in an attack you think your mind's going to go blank. But we do it with repetition. We start off in slow motion, then medium motion, the medium motion with some power, and then finally get up to full speed, full power. But by that time, it's all reflexive, and you're just saying no, no, no until you knock him out. And then we do what we call the final look assess, call 911, and that is you have to make sure that he's knocked out. You get out of arm's reach, you look, make sure there aren't any other assailants coming, buddies to help him. You're assessing him, you say, no! If he twitches, that means he's not knocked out. You drop to the ground, you start kicking and really knock him out. We don't want to kick him from above, get down on the ground. And if you said no and he doesn't move, then he is knocked out, and you run and you get help and you calmly, at a safe distance, because you never know until you find somebody, please call 911. And you go back to your loving, peaceful life.
Well, wow, so, but this whole situation from the attack to the from the start of the attack till the time you defend yourself can last what? Is it 5 minutes? What kind of a time frame is that?
No, again, this is going to happen within a second. In other words, Denise go bam, bam, bam,
yes,
faster than she can talk about it. And again, in the real world, women have, like the very first woman who defended herself, the guy grabbed her, she kneed him in the groin. She said he dropped to the ground and started mewing like a kitten, not like you guys in class, because we will, you know, keep on going so that we pretend to be psychomuggers, someone on adrenaline, whether we're enraged or we're on drugs or alcohol or whatever, and attacking them. They have to keep on fighting back. And it's called, you know, state-conditioned learning. Ernst Hilgard's work at Stanford. In other words, we learn best in the relaxed environment with soft instrumental music in the background, but that's not the way the fight's going to be on the street. So what we have to simulate in class are increasing levels of adrenaline. because once your heart rate starts going above 140 beats a minute, you lose fine motor control, you get tunnel vision, some people start seeing in black and white, people have auditory exclusion, they don't hear things, and you know, all these fancy moves just go flying out the window. So there has to be gross motor behaviors, and they have to be the ones that will deter most of the types of attacks. So for example, the stance that we have, most men go in for an enveloping situation around a woman because their shoulders are broader than the woman's. And so if they're coming around, she has to enter the inside. And this comes from Wing Chun. It was a system designed by women, although Bruce Lee used it too and made it famous. But it's like for a smaller person fighting a larger person. Again, even in the MMA, the mixed martial arts, they don't allow knees to the groin because it would end the fights really fast. And what's interesting is that when I've trained against MMA guys, they open their legs and spread in order to withstand a charge. It's like, wait a second, if I could knee you in the groin, there would be no more match.
So if that were to happen, like you said, a smaller woman, if a large man enveloped her from behind,
her response would be to the groin.
So I come up from behind and grab her.
Okay, right. So some bad dude thinks he's bad. He's grabbing me from behind. We just add two more little building blocks, and then it's basically exactly what we did. So let's say he's got me from behind, and I say again, no. And what I'm going to do is a butt strike where I'm going to bend at my waist, tuck my head in where my chin is to my chest. I'm going to bring my hands up to protect my face. In case we went forward, at least my hands would protect my face. But I'm striking my butt right into his groin, yelling, no. Then all I have to do is shift my hips, and I've got a hammer fist. Take my hand. My right hand is now a fist. I'm going to swing it back behind me up into his groin. And again, with all my force and power, I say, no, up to his groin. Now, I'm going to be able to, at this point, because his attention is on his groin, I can spin in, and I'm going to use an elbow. I step back with my right foot, spinning and turning. My right elbow now is hitting his nose as I say, no. And now I'm turning, facing him with my hands up in our stance. And now it's back to the same old thing where now I heel palm to the nose, no. It's high-low. So no to the nose, and then follow through with a thigh to the groin, stepping forward, thigh to the head. So we just added a couple extra building blocks. And again, we do it very slowly in class, and then we speed it up, and it becomes reflexive.
Right. It's like traumatic learning. In other words, if you touch a hot stove, you don't say, what did Sifu say? Was it Tong Sao, Bong Suo, Fuk Sao? No. You pull your hand away.
Right.
And, And so the same thing happens in class, that we built in adrenaline triggers so that when the women have been attacked, they fought first and then talked about it later. For example, a woman was attacked by three guys in Switzerland, and she hadn't taken defense against multiple assailants class, which is a third level, but she just heel-palmed the first guy in the nose, his head flew back, he fell backwards, his head hit the pavement, knocked him out, the other two guys fled. A woman was grabbed by two guys in Puerto Rico, and she just spun around and kneed one in the groin, he let go, she spun around and kneed the other one in the groin, he let go, and she didn't have to do much else. We've had seven women where the bad guy has grabbed them from behind in the bear hug, and when they do the butt strike, it comes from judo, and it drives the guy backwards, and the guy fell backwards. Well, now he has the woman's whole weight on him as he's hitting the pavement, and his butt hits the ground, his ribs hit the ground, knocking the air out of him, and then his head hits the ground. And so the guys have been knocked out by just our very first move.
So let me see if I can get a better, in my own sense, of the illustration of the butt move. Is something similar to putting your butt back as if you're sitting in a chair, but with force?
It's more like if you're trying to slam a car door with your butt because you're holding two bags of groceries.
Oh, very good.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's a good visual. I didn't know I had a name to doing that. Now it's a butt slam.
Butt strike,
And I've been through gyms throughout the world, and I've never seen a machine that'll strengthen the nose or strengthen the nuts.
Good point. Well, isn't that, you want to find a weakness in your competitor.
Right.
And obviously it is the groin for the man.
Mm-hmm. Right. And again, it's about simple actions where I have black belts in 9 different styles, but I've trained in 30 different styles because each style has something to offer and has advantages and disadvantages. And I've traveled all over the world, and I've trained with some amazing, amazing masters. And I have to look at what is the simplest thing that I can teach in the shortest amount of time and then make it reflexive by combining, you know, the best of the West and the best of the East.
Mm-hmm. So in the earlier part of the segment, I mentioned there have been a lot of news stories about young women, and this isn't the first, but this, which is so disturbing, that these women disappear, and many of them are later found dead. And I know you don't know the circumstances, so how would you prevent this from happening again? You know, what would you say to these women?
Well, we have a Protecting Children from Danger course that starts mm-hmm. from, you know, kids who are 3 up till 12. And then from 12, we say they can take the model mugging class with their parents' permission and often with their parents present. When my son was 11 years old, he was walking 400 yards ahead of us up in, you know, a resort area that we felt was very safe. And I was with his 2 younger brothers, and, you know, he saw a guy watching him as he drove by in the pickup. And so he had learned in Protecting Children from Danger that it's not polite for adults to stare at children. And if anything, it's actually the first part of an assault. So Carl was very aware of this, and he watched the guy turn around in his pickup truck, make a U-turn, and then come back and start driving by him again. So now Carl is really alert, and he knows that this is a potential assault, and so he watches the guy, and when he does one more U-turn and now comes and cuts him off, Carl has already picked up 3 rocks. Well, from Little League, he can throw from center field to home plate. So in Protecting Children from Danger, we teach what we call a David and Goliath drill. Now, Carl's got his hand ready to throw that rock and yelling, "No, no, no." And the bad guy just got back in his pickup truck and took off. So that's the type of deterrence that we can do. A 14-year-old girl named Paris was walking home from school and was attacked by 4 high schoolers, one of whom was 250 pounds. I mean, that's a big guy. And fortunately, she had taken the model mugging class, and so they had surrounded her, and she was facing them, and the guy's telling her what he is going to do to her and stuff like that. And she heel palmed him in the nose. His head flew back. She kneed him in the groin. His head came down. She kneed him in the head, and he went down. Well, the next guy grabbed her in a bear hug from behind. She did the butt strike hammer fist. The guy let go and was now clutching his groin and bent over. So she didn't have time to do the elbow heel palm, so he just, you know, ran in and kneed the guy in the head. Third guy tackled her, and then we teach ground fighting because, again, how many women get raped standing up? And so it becomes very important in ground fighting to use your legs, which isn't allowed in the mixed martial arts. In other words, again, everything that is illegal there is what we teach in class. And so she kicked out the guy's knee, and he fell screaming to the ground, and guess what? We can teach young people to defend themselves. And we've had numerous young women, like a woman was being stalked, and she was able to defend herself against her assailants. So the stories go on and on, and that's,
yes,
again, truth in action.
And we
no,
just,
I know, Denise,
I think
you
we
have,
just,
you have to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say we have to be, and I'm telling myself this now that I have 2 kids myself, a daughter and a son, and we have to be brave and brave to bring up a subject that is scary, but to do it in a sensitive, loving way, and we need to train them and teach them to be aware and to have the few skills and for them to know that they can say no to strangers and adults and to anyone who is doing something inappropriate. And so, and to teach them that on the ground too, like women, we may not be able to fight upper body strength so much, but the power's in the legs. So those kids on the ground, they can just get those legs in there. Do those butt strikes. If you're taken down from behind, let's say you do a butt strike hard enough, you may end up going down with him to the ground. And then we say, apply the same thing you did standing up. You're going to do elbows to the nose, then you're going to turn in, you're going to get your legs in there, and you're going to kick with side thrust kicks or axe kicks into the nose and the groin, and he's now on the ground. And if he gets up and moves around, then you just keep your feet between him and you, and you just use your feet and yell no the whole time.
This is such important information and skills, especially today with these young people who
mm-hmm.
are so involved in technology and are not as aware when
mm-hmm.
they're walking on the street. They're chatting on the phone, they're texting
mm-hmm.
somebody, and
mm-hmm.
it's important to be aware of your surroundings, and it's important, you're both parents, of teaching your children that and perhaps offering this course to your children, not so much as far as self-defense, but for self-respect.
Exactly.
Be empowered.
Exactly. Yes, and that's the neatest. That's why I worked with Matt for so long, and my goal is to still get this out there through a movie of the week, because, yes, you take this power and this fearlessness, and then you apply it to your lives. Then people have come back to Matt and said, I quit that job. I wanted to get rid of, I did this or I did that, and I took this trip by myself. I've always wanted to do whatever it is. For me, I healed by opening up to men. I met a wonderful guy and I got married. I wasn't in bad relationships. And it's so exciting to find power in a loving way and just to open up to life.
And especially, Denise, as women, I think our sex has been over the past many years that we are second citizens and we have no power, we have no voice, we have no say.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, yes, we do, and we are who we are as people. And it empowers you in all areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's so important. It makes you not so much a better person, but a well-rounded person. And to have no fear, how to be comfortable in your own shoes is loving yourself and not being afraid to take those steps. And let's face it,
mm-hmm.
having fear is part of the human condition. We all have fears to face. But if you can face it with conviction, then it makes it a lot easier. Now, Matt, are you teaching any classes right now?
Well, I'm 60 years old, so I'm a little old to be in the suit.
No
but
excuses.
Like I said, Mark Vinci is teaching model mugging, and Bill Kipp is teaching FAST. And Bill has opened up over 120 schools throughout the world, so if you look up on his website, there's lots of schools like that. And I have to tell one of Bill's student stories, and this is what's so amazing. I mean, I trained 10,000 women personally. My students trained an additional 50,000 women, and now Bill has trained over 120,000 women through his students. But there was a woman who is paralyzed from the waist down, was taking a shower, and she had taken a workshop from Bill and Derek. Derek is an instructor who's also in a chair, and I've trained him how to teach other people in a chair, and he trained like 700 people in a year. But anyway, so she was taking a shower, and she heard of someone coming in, and it was a neighbor who had stolen a master key. He didn't bother disguising his face, so he intended to murder her as well, thinking she was helpless because, she's paralyzed from the waist down. So he attacks her in the shower, and she fights, and she, has the power and the spirit, and she uses her hands, and she bashes his head against a toilet bowl, because we teach using your environment in class. And then she crawls on her, hands and elbows to the phone and gets the guy arrested. And so I am just so, honored that because I taught Bill and Bill taught Derek and Derek taught her, that she was able to defend herself.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And we are, unfortunately, out of time. I want to thank you, Matt Thomas and Model Mugging, for joining us today and sharing your technique and
mm-hmm.
empowerment. And Denise, thank you so much
for
sharing your story and your passion for Matt's work, and I
mm-hmm.
hope that this will continue. And if you want more information about model mugging, you can go to Matt's website at www.modelmugging.org. And please join me next time for another wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes, and we will continue our series on violence against women when my guest will be. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you again for joining me with Matt Thomas and Denise Loveday Kane and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes.